your host Jess, aka She Snaps, a popular Twitch broadcaster, photographer, entrepreneur, and mental health advocate. In this and future casts, expect to follow along with Snaps as she learns more about her mind, the world, and her fellow humans. It could get messy in here, but stick around. You might just learn something as you enter the mind of Snaps.
Oh my gosh, you guys, we're really back. Welcome back to the Mind of Snaps podcast. It has been too long since I've recorded an episode, so I'm excited as fuck to get back into a solid groove. Excited, excited, excited. I have really, really enjoyed doing the A Day in the Life podcasts, ADITL podcasts, last year. So I am pumped to bring you back even more of those this year. I really, really love learning about people's days. We're going to do all kinds of other different topics that I find interesting. And of course, we will be bringing back High History as well. So don't you fret. Lots of good shit coming to you in this wonderful new year. This will be our 15th episode of the podcast overall, our first one for this new year, for 2019. So I'm really delighted to have a special guest with us today. Today we have with us Adam Pino, who is an engineer at Bungie. If you're not familiar with Bungie, they are the Washington-based developer responsible for incredible games like Halo and Destiny. That one's especially like important in my life. Oh my gosh, I could talk about that all day. I've been to the Bungie headquarters a few times now, and I really, really like their whole team. Everyone I've ever talked to, they've all been super cool, really chill. So I'm really looking forward to getting to know Adam a bit more tonight. I have no idea what a day in the life of a game engineer looks like. Like, no idea. So I'm expecting to learn a lot. I do want to mention, if you're tuning in thinking that you're going to get some top secret info on Destiny, that is definitely not what this is about. We're here to talk about life and work in a way broader sense. So we won't be getting into anything that's game specific. Lo siento. Anyway, if you'd like to chat with our new friend Adam, hit him up on Twitter. His handle is Pinotorious, like his last name, Pinotorious. I'll tag him. You'll find him. He's a nice dude. You'll see. Having said all of that, let's get started. Right. Adam, welcome.
Thank you
for being here tonight.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I don't think we've had too much time to talk other than, you know, probably random stuff on Twitter. So I'm excited to get to know you, and I'm excited to get to know a little bit more about your job.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. So jumping right into it, let's pretend that we are talking to people who don't know anything. And we got to break it down to the basics here. So you are an engineer at Bungie. What is that like? What is that job? What does being an engineer at Bungie mean?
Yeah, so basically everything we do in video games obviously runs on software. And the people that build it are the engineers. Bungie is really a special studio in a lot of ways where ideas kind of come from anywhere, but usually, like, the design group comes up with sort of the plan for what a project will be. But in order for anything to work, they go to the engineers to build the technology that runs the game. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So what do you, just to elaborate on something right off the bat there, what do you mean by ideas kind of come from anywhere?
So, like, if there's something about a game that, like, you're passionate about, you can go to the design group and say, hey, what about this? And at Bungie, they'll be like, oh, that's interesting. Or they'll tell you, they'll explain pretty well why. Well, that doesn't really work because of this, this, and this. It's really collaborative. Like, Gambit especially was extremely collaborative. Like, the artists and the designers and I all worked together really closely on stuff. And the designers were really good about listening to ideas from anywhere.
That's cool. Is that not traditional? Is that not a standard across studios?
It can be, but I've worked places where it wasn't as much the case, and I've definitely heard of places where it was really like designers pretty much are in charge of it. So,
well, that's cool.
Yeah.
So you are the one that gets to coding and starts creating all these awesome things.
Yes. And, like, Destiny runs on this huge bit of software. Like, there's multiple computers that are running Destiny. There's the internet has servers that are running where they store your data about your character. Then we spin up servers to run the activity that you're playing. And then you have your own game that's running on your Xbox or PS4 or PC. Mainly I work on the bit on your PC called the client.
Okay.
That's most of the work that I do. And that's like moment to moment what happens during the game. Like in Gambit, like we had to write some special code to make the motes come out of the enemies, right? That would be me.
Interesting. So you do PvP in Gambit primarily, right?
That's what I have done. I started as a networking engineer at Bungie, but prior to that, I've worked on all kinds of things. Like at Pandemic Studios, I built the streaming system for the Saboteur. So I've done all kinds of things.
What was the one that you clicked with the most out of all these different types that you've done? Is it what you're in now?
Well, so the thing I think I liked the best overall was building the streaming system for the Saboteur, because it was such a meaty, big, like hard problem, like loading data off the disk fast enough. The problem is when I got to Bungie, that stuff was pretty much all done.
Gotcha.
But at Bungie, it's nice because I'm a lot closer to the game, so I have a lot more impact on like decisions, and I get to go to more playtests, and that stuff's really cool.
That is cool. So the thing that you liked the most was a major challenge. Is that common for you? Do you tend to get really excited when you see stuff that's like a big undertaking?
Yeah, because like with software, there's like a core bit of software that's like runs most of the time. Like, I don't know if there's a better way to explain it, but when you build something like a streaming system, the whole game is always doing that. Versus when you do something in Destiny where you're like doing a gameplay thing, say you write some special code for the raid. Like, that means only players that play the raid are going to see it, and they have to be playing the raid at the time. So it's fun to do the guts, right, where you're doing like everything uses your work.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that fun in it. I get excited. Like when I was doing photography full time, I would get excited, you know, if people hung up my pictures in their homes and stuff. I can only imagine knowing that people are using something that you spent, I don't even know how long, working on day in and day out.
Oh yeah, it's pretty cool, especially when you get to something as big as Destiny or Halo. Like it's,
yeah.
I mean, I worked on Halo 4 as well, and like that was the first game I worked on that was that massive of an audience, and it was definitely like big to like realize, oh my god, millions of people are going to run my code.
That was an exciting, oh my god, millions of people are going to run my code. Not like, oh my god, is it like panicking, like get nervous about it, or?
I mean, a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Like, especially with something like Halo, there's a big responsibility of like, oh my god, like we can't mess this up. People are counting on us to make something good. So.
Yeah, man, I can't even imagine the pressure. Like, no one gives a shit what I do. And it's awesome. It relieves a lot of the pressure. You have stuff that people are potentially going to get all worked up over if anything doesn't go the exact way they imagine it should.
It's true. I mean, it's nice when you actually meet people in person, that people are usually just really excited about what you've done, even if they have disagreements. So that is nice.
Yeah, like at the summits.
Yeah, summits are like, I went to PAX and worked the line for Gambit, and it was just neat meeting people who were excited about it.
Oh, I bet that would have been cool. I'm imagining it like, because not everyone, I imagine, like as soon as they see you are like, aha, I know that guy. I know exactly what role he had in this. So you're like the chef, like greeting people at the door to the restaurant, but you're not wearing like the funny hat or anything. So they have no idea.
Exactly. And then every once in a while, someone asks them like, wait, what, you worked on this? Oh my God. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's cool. Did you have anyone ask for pictures or autographs?
I think I had a few people ask for autographs, but no one asked for pictures. So.
Well, we'll have to fix that. Are you going to be at Guardian Con? Do you get to go to some of the fun events?
Sometimes, like they send some people, like they sent Robbie and someone else, Peter, to Guardian Con last year. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're gonna go or not. I mean, I could just go myself if I wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, it is a blast. You should. It's fun.
It's Florida in July. It's sorry.
Oh,
what was that?
Oh man, It's the fucking truth, man. I love that event. I love it. I just wish I didn't have to go outside at all to get there or meet up with anyone after. If I could just teleport into the event and then, like, any of the subsequent after parties or whatever, that would be perfect for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It looked hot. So it looked like fun, but it looked hot.
Oh, yeah. It certainly was. So worth it, though, really. Like, there is no chance you're going to get me anywhere with that much humidity if I'm not, like, going to, like, confident that I'm going to have a great fucking time.
Nice.
So, you've been working at Bungie how long?
5 years.
5 years. You were talking about you've worked at all different sizes of studios, right?
Yep. I've worked at I think the smallest was about 40 people. And the biggest, I think the biggest is Bungie. But I worked at Microsoft, cool. Which is bigger. But the studio was smaller.
just a little bigger.
Yeah.
What are the challenges and benefits of each? Like, what's the bonus of having a small team versus a big?
I mean, the small team, when I was working on it, we were making PS2 games. And that, you didn't need a big team. Mm-hmm. And you got to have a lot of impact. Like, I got to build the UI tools and the UI and all of it by myself. And, you know, I could do that because that was the expectation. Mm-hmm. The industry has sort of moved on from that paradigm to a large degree. Like, you need a big team to compete with the AAA games. So
I understand that.
Yeah. So, like, and then pandemic, like, I worked on a game called Full Spectrum Warrior, and that was, like, probably about 40 people just on that team. And that was nice because you could still do something really cool and impressive, but, you know, you still got to have that impact.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Bungie, like, it's just, you know, you have this incredible, huge amount of insanely talented people all around you doing awesome stuff. And you just constantly get to see the cool stuff people are putting in. And, like, it's just a rush to get to do that. It you know, it can be hard to, like, get noticed a little bit in a studio that's that big, but... Mm. But, you know, I mean, you get to make friends and you start to build a network and then you start to get, like, it's not really bad. It's just, you know that you're responsible for a much smaller part of the game because it's, you know, 700 people or not, I don't know exactly, but a lot of people working on it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So I can totally see, like, from just my past employment history, how I could really enjoy either side of that, like, being in the company where you have no choice but to wear a bunch of different hats. But because you wear so many hats, you also learn a fuck ton, which is cool. And you really get challenged from that kind of, like, diversity and variety in your day to day.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think the biggest thing is you're going to have a bigger impact at a smaller place, but the product will have a bigger impact at a bigger place.
You can't
make something like Destiny with, you know, 40 people. Like it,
yeah, you know, don't imagine so. I'm sure someone, like, will someday listen to this and be like, I can do that. You know, some people get overconfident, but I think you're probably right about that.
It would be tough anyway. I mean,
it's cool though, because like I said, I could totally see the value of having the smaller team where you wear a lot of hats, but I can also see the bonus or the benefit of being able to have some focus in your day and say, this is the main shit I'm working on. I'm a part of this big team. And it seems like you guys have a super, not just, like, collaborative in general, but, like, physically open environment there.
Oh yeah. It's, it is extremely physically open. Yes, that's accurate.
Like, or can we talk about that? That it just seemed to be like one big room.
Yeah, I mean, I think we did tours of it when Destiny launched. I think we let people see. So yeah, no, it was a bunch of movie theaters and they just gutted it and just left it a huge room.
I'm visualizing it right now. I'm in my brain just picturing it from my last visit there and I'm trying to, like, see how a movie theater, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Especially that location. Cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Totally unrecognizable.
Yeah, it's just now it's just hundreds of desks and and enough power to let every computer run, which is sometimes finicky. But
things you don't even think about sometimes.
Oh, totally. Like sometimes people are like, I want to move over here next to my team or something, like, because for some reason they just change teams and we're like, wait, you gotta wait, we gotta make sure we have the power before you just pick up your stuff.
Wow. Yeah, I could see that. That has to be a challenge because you're working with like an office that was kind of custom created for you guys then, it seems.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
So do you like the big open working environment like that?
Do I personally? Mm-hmm. It's not what I would pick, but I mean, it's something you can adapt to well enough. Like there are moments where it's really helpful to like, you know, say here over here, the designer saying, hey, I'm going to do this. And you're like, whoa, oh, actually, hold on. Maybe don't do that. Let me see if that'll work in the code first. Or hearing the designer say, hey, there's probably really no way to do this. I'm like, actually, there is a way to do that if you just do this. So like that part of it's nice. But then sometimes, you know, if people are having a animated discussion behind me and it's really interesting to me, it sometimes can be hard to focus.
Okay. So you see the value in it overall. There's some definite benefit there, but there's some potential distraction that comes along with it.
Exactly.
I see. I have a hard time imagining myself being able to work like that. Just like I think it would be cool, but at the same time, I also know that like when I was in my corporate job and stuff, when I'm at my desk, I'm there to work. I was definitely more of a dick. I don't have time for the small talk. Like I'm here. I want to get some shit done, man.
Yeah. I worked at Pandemic. They used to have on the team that did Mercenaries too. They had something called quiet hours where like you weren't allowed to bother people during that time unless it was like super important. But
Man, I want to just institute quiet hours in general in various things. That's smart, though, just to make sure that there is a little bit of balance to that.
Yeah, Bungie people are usually pretty respectful. Like if you just say, hey, guys, I'm really in the middle of something. Can you move this somewhere else? Usually people will just do that.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Nice. At least there's no animosity or people just being ridiculous about it. Some offices can definitely get very catty.
Definitely. Yeah, not so much Bungie.
That's good. You know, whenever I think about stuff like that too, oh man, I'm going to out myself as a terrible person. I worked at this corporate office, and at one point there was this woman who was just always on my fucking case, man. She, like, we did not have the same role. I barely had to interact with her, but anytime I did, she was just always being, like, very rude about it. And I had to cover her desk every once in a while as a part of, like, a team help everything kind of plan. Like, it had nothing to do with my job description. So, like, I was on a diet once, and I was eating tuna, like, just tuna and some salt and stuff. I was doing keto. And after I was done, without thinking one day, like, I had finished all of it. There was none left. I just tossed it in the garbage that was near her dress or near her desk. And she wrote this like very strong like email about it, and she like came up to my desk to ask me if I had gotten the email and was just so obnoxious about it that every time I covered her desk I would do the exact same thing. And I started even like deliberately leaving a little bit of the tuna in whatever it is and putting it into there and then like putting papers on top of it and just being like, fuck her and walk away. So it's good that you don't have to deal with people like her or really me.
No, I mean, I worked with a guy who sat at a desk with another guy who apparently would eat like carrot sticks. And it would drive the guy who wasn't eating carrot sticks crazy. Like the sound would just get on his nerves.
And they shared an office. Immediately went to the sound. Ugh.
And I can't imagine that bothering me. But man, if it did, that would suck.
So. You know, there's some people who have misophonia. I never know how to say it right, but like their brains. And this is something that I struggled with a lot in the past. Like you react to things body first. So like you hear these small repetitive noises and I immediately imagine someone just constantly chomping into carrots and was just like horrified for this dude because that would fill me with literal rage. Mm-hmm. My body would be like tensing up. I would start to feel my heart beating before my conscious mind even registered. Like, it's just some dude eating fucking carrots. I would just be like, raging over it. So I feel for the dude who had to listen to that.
Yeah, that would be rough. If that reaction happened, that would suck.
Yeah, it's not fun. Some of the smallest things, like people who tap their feet, people who keep, like, every time they use a fork and they kind of, like, hit the plate with it, you know? Mm-hmm. They make that, like, scraping noise. People who breathe heavy, even. Like, the smallest noises can just totally change your whole attitude. It's weird. Brains are weird.
Yeah.
Man. Well, I'm glad, again, you don't have to deal with anyone like that at your office. That's a good feeling. Everyone there seems really nice. No one the type to religiously eat carrots or leave tuna at someone's desk.
Yeah, that hasn't come up.
Let's get into the day-to-day stuff. Sure. Let's imagine it is Monday morning. You're heading into the office. What time are you usually getting there? Do you guys have kind of flexible hours, or is everyone there same time to same time?
No, we have flex hours. The core hours are 10 to 4, so that's when you're supposed to schedule
that's
meetings.
Nice.
Yeah. And then you generally work an 8-hour day around that, well, depending on if you take lunch or whatever. But I usually get in around 9:15 to 9:30. Which is on the earlier side. Most people push it to 10.
So. I mean, I can't imagine. I'm honestly surprised. I can only imagine people going in early if they had something they wanted to do quietly. Otherwise, I imagine most people are trying to head towards that 10 o'clock, because why not?
Yeah, well, the main reason is if you have kids. Like, because one of the guys would get there at 7 and leave at 4, so you get home in time to meet his son.
Oh. So.
I mean, there are some people do go with the early shift, but I can't usually keep that up. So, so yeah, I get in, check my email, see if anything important happened. And then,
so who's emailing you when you check your email? Is it people saying, here's something you need to work on? Is it people saying, how do I do this? Why isn't this working? Here's what we're doing next.
Yeah. Generally for me, it's this thing didn't work. Please help. Or, you know, because usually we'll have a meeting about what we're going to work on, and then we'll build. So there's a software we use called Team Foundation Server, I think. Mm-hmm. TFS is what we call it. It's a Microsoft software, and it's just task tracking and bug tracking, basically.
Gotcha.
And so when we have these meetings, we'll go in and make tasks for everyone. So the next thing I'll do after I check my mail is open TFS and see what I'm supposed to be working on, or... Usually I remember from the night before, and I'll just have the code editor Visual Studio up, and I'll, you know, hopefully I left myself a notice to what I was doing, and then just keep finishing the task or testing it or whatever.
Okay. So that's pretty much the way the most of the day goes, is checking off tasks, occasional meetings maybe?
Yeah, fair number of meetings. I mean, I have a report, so sometimes I like have a one-on-one with my report, or I'll, you know... have a meeting with him or something. But usually it's pretty much writing code or testing code or going over. And there's what we call walk-up, when a designer or someone else, maybe another engineer, walks up and says, hey, I need help with this. Then you walk over to their desk and help them out.
Oh, you guys have a name for that. Walk-ups.
Yeah, call it walk-up, yeah. It's like work
makes
that
it
wasn't
sound
intended.
Very official. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
And then the other thing we do a lot as engineers is we do what's called code reviews, where someone thinks their task is finished and they want to have another engineer check over their work to make sure everything is good. So sometimes I'll do that, like, well, because that'll be an email I'll get, or we use a software for that too, and then it just shows all the changes in code and I can look at them carefully and be like, hey, I think this is actually a mistake. You might not want to do that.
How big is your team? You said you have reports?
Well, my report is actually not directly on my team.
Okay.
But yeah, my team is not that big right now. Like, the Gambit team was, I think, 7 people or 8 people, and I was the only engineer. Mm. So that's happened to me a couple times, like being sort of the solo engineer on the thing that I'm doing.
Do you enjoy being the solo engineer?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter to me either way. Like, I'm happy working with other people. Or, I mean, there isn't a huge, like, the engine we have does a lot of stuff, so they don't usually need a lot of engineers. Like, I'm only adding a little bit of functionality for the designers usually.
Ah, okay. So not a huge team. I'm like kind of visualizing this in my brain. I'm picturing like that big office area, all the desks that I'm seeing. And I'm imagining the kind of like ebb and flow of it. And it's just, it's fascinating. I would, because I'm a creep and I don't mind watching people, I would love to just sit there and like stare from the top and just be like, how does all of this come together? This is cool.
Yeah. Well, my desk has, I have four monitors. So that'll help you visualize.
That so does actually. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, you're giving me the extra little details. Okay. Describe the rest of your desk. Do you have pictures and stuff up, or do you keep a clean, like, sterile workspace?
It's pretty, well, it doesn't have pictures and stuff because there's not a lot of space. I don't know if anyone would describe it as clean exactly. Like, I have, like, papers and stuff on it. But I take, it's a little weird. One of my monitors is turned sideways, so it's, like, very tall up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So, because code, I want to be able to see more code at once.
Makes sense.
Then the center monitor is left like portrait or landscape, like wide. So if I want to look at a website or the game, I can look at it on there. And then I have the two monitors above each other on the right. Usually I'll start looking at code on the left and then go to my email in the middle. And then when I test, I always test in the middle monitor.
Is the middle monitor, are they all the same size monitor?
No, the ones on the right are smaller, but the other two are the same size.
Okay.
Yeah, the other two are like small TVs that were used to be used for TVs, but then I just plugged them into the video card.
Okay. I like it. I'm getting like the full picture, and I genuinely enjoy that.
Yeah.
So, at your job then, what do you like the most about it? Like, if you were to go in on a Monday and have a surprise that you were pumped about or have a task that you'd be really excited, is there, what kinds of things at your job, seeing as how you seem to be kind of, you know, checking off tasks as you go, are there certain types that when you see them cross your desk, you're like, yeah, I love working on stuff like this?
Yeah, definitely if I get to build a system at all, like if I get to do something a little bit deeper and more complicated, and that's always more exciting. Like,
you like the hardy stuff, like you were talking about before, right? You like getting in there and having the challenge.
Yeah, totally. But it's also, I mean, a lot of times the best part of the job is getting to go to a playtest when we've got a feature finally working and it turns out that it was really fun. And then like we have this awesome playtest where everyone has a really good time. Like, that's a pretty good moment too, you know?
How do they pick people for playtests?
So usually the team, like for Gambit, the team playtested a lot, just ourselves. Like, I guess there was like maybe 8 or 9 people. We always had enough to play Gambit. And that was really helpful because everyone had a real sense of where it was going.
That makes sense.
If we don't have enough people, there's a way to send out a request to the whole studio. Like, hey, if you want to sign up for this playtest, here's a place to sign up for it. Mm. And then sometimes we have this group, I think Dee just talked about it, called Tiger Core, which is like the hardcore Destiny players in the studio. And we'll send an email out to there saying, hey, we're going to have a playtest. Anyone wants to come?
That's cool. That would be so fun. Do you guys get really into it when you're playing together? Is there a lot of like shit talking and stuff?
Depends who's in there. Like,
some people are just happy to play the game. Others get really into it.
Yeah, like I won't naturally shit talk, but if there's certain people there, I will definitely start getting into it a little bit. So.
You seem very chill as like a baseline for you. So I can see that not being something you jump to right away.
Yeah. And not everyone's like necessarily as good at the game, and I don't want to make anyone feel bad. So I want people to feel like they can come to playtests and not feel like they're going to get insulted if they come some kind of shit talk. So,
yeah, I guess I hadn't even really thought about that. Like they're taking a little break. They're helping out, really. Probably don't want to, wreck their spirits as they're there doing you a favor, essentially testing out something you worked on.
Yeah, kind of. So,
Okay, so you enjoy when you get the big tasks across your desk, the stuff where you get to really dig in. What are the things that cross your desk where you're like, okay, let's do it?
Well, there's a good example today. So, you know, there's a bunch of, like, a game has a lot of moving parts, and the, like, there's a certain frame rate we want to hit on every platform. And if we're not, like, in order to make sure we hit that, we have to, like, test out the game and then pull data as to, like, what's running and what time. And, like, that's a huge amount of data that we get for, like, say for Gambit. Like, when we tested that, there's, you know, 36 variants of Gambit, or probably more than that. I don't even know. With all the maps and all the races and all the different enemies that can spawn. So you have to go through every single game that they tested of that and, like, look at this software that, like, tells you how long everything's taking for every frame. Luckily, we have a bunch of analysis. It's like, these are the frames that are too expensive that we're going to need to do something about. And I can look at those and see what was running and what was happening. But that is not the most fun job in the world. So
it gets, is that, like, tedious?
It can get a little tedious. Like, yeah, okay, it was slow for these 15 frames. What happened? Oh, I see. They put, you know, too many AI and we got to take some out or something.
When you say too expensive, you mean, like, resource expensive?
Yeah, it just takes too long on the processor to run. So, got like, it. You know, if you have, like, 200 AIs in the game, that would be too many for the game to run at 30 frames per second on a Durango or a Xbox One or something.
Oh, okay. Oh, I love this. I really enjoyed every time I had a chance to, like, meet anyone at Bungie or go and check it out. And just in general, you know, I didn't have an opportunity to get into the gaming industry until I started streaming. And it's just another one of those things. You don't know how complex it is and how much goes into some of these things that you love. And
yeah.
It's kind of cool when you look at it in terms of the people that are creating these things that you get to, you know, then have at home and bond with people over. I met my boyfriend through Destiny. Did you know that?
I didn't.
It's pretty dope. He moved in last year in January. We've been playing together for years, and it's just so cool that the game is called Destiny. And when people ask me how we met, I can just tell them, like, oh, through Destiny.
That is good. I hadn't thought of that.
Uh-huh. So if you're a gamer, you're like, oh, really? You guys play together? And if you're not, you're like, oh, you believe in that? Destiny brought you together? That's beautiful.
That's good.
So was this what you always wanted to do? Were you working through school, excited to work on some games?
Yeah, well, when I was really young, I kind of wanted to draw comic books.
That's cool.
It was cool, but then I went to a comic book drawing class, and I found out that I wasn't as good an artist as I thought. and to be fair, I probably could have worked on it, but instead I got into computers and I started programming. Like, I started programming really young, and I just always loved it. So
how young is really young? Like, you were 2 years old and you were clicking away?
I mean, I think I was like 6 or 7, and I was writing Apple Basic on my, I'm kind of on the old side. So it was a little different back then, but yeah.
That's crazy. My youngest niece is 7, and I'm just like trying to imagine her getting into stuff like that. And I feel like she probably would be able to. It is crazy, like, when you're a little kid and you're passionate about something, nothing phases you. You're like, yeah, I'm going to learn that. Totally.
Yeah, it's true. Totally. So, yeah, it was good. And then...
Were your parents into this? Were they tech-savvy people? Like, how did you stumble onto that at so young, too?
So my parents weren't. My uncle had the computer, and he was a electrical engineer. And then, like, what happened was my mom had a boyfriend who was a computer science professor. I don't even know how they met. And one day he sat down with me and was like, here's a program. And, like, I didn't know what the hell he was doing. Like, it printed out a number. And I'm like, I don't understand. And then one day I, like, looked, like, I got to the computer and I was looking at the program. And I was like, oh, that's what it does. And I, from that point on, it was like, okay, I'm in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. And you've been doing this since you were seven. That's fucking cool, man.
Yeah, I like
it. Especially, like it's cool that you did the little foray. You gave the comic creation a shot. But it's so cool. I feel like that's not a common thing that people connect to something at a young age and get to keep that.
Yeah, it's true. I feel pretty lucky. I mean, yeah, I mean, in high school, I got to work with a bunch of other kids and make a PC game that, you know, didn't really do anything, but it was cool to be able to be a part of that.
I can imagine. Yeah. That's, yeah, dude, like you were building stuff. It'd be cool if you were in, you know, not shop class, but if you were in, like, woodworking or metals and you're building cool, extravagant things with your hands. Like, this is the same thing. You're building cool, extravagant things with your hands, and you started really young.
Yeah, no, it's similar. It's pretty, I feel very lucky that I got to do that, for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like you had a good track record too. Like, have you had bad jobs? Did you get good programming or engineer type jobs from the start?
So, well, I was going to college, but then I got a job for the summer that turned into just I am not going to go to college anymore and just do my job. It was a programming job. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a game job, and that was okay, but it wasn't. I mean, I wanted to be making games, and that's all I thought about. So, like, I could do that job okay, but it wasn't my favorite. And then I had a series of pretty bad tech jobs that were just, like, database marketing. And they were, first of all, extremely easy, and then also very not games. So, but I was getting paid a pretty good amount of money for the time.
Yeah.
And then I got a game job, like, company showed up, and I just applied for it, and I just barely got in, and I took a big pay cut and sort of never looked back. So
that's so awesome. I can only imagine the perspective that you gained from that too, knowing that it's kind of the same base knowledge that carries you across. One has the money, but not the passion. One has the passion, but less money.
Totally. Like, that served me well.
And no regrets, right?
Not at all. No, I'd never go back to that. Like, my mom, you asked about my parents. My mom, like, was glad I was a programmer, was not as happy I wanted to do video games. But I think finally she's come around. Like, when she sees how big Destiny is, it's different.
Yeah. When did you decide you wanted to do video games? Was that, like, from the start of your programming as you got into it? You were like, this is the future. You did the thing in high school. You're like, yeah, games.
Pretty much. I mean, I pretty much was always trying to make video games in some way or another. I would make games on my calculator. My friends and I made a whole casino suite, and we made it so they all of us wrote separate programs, and then we made it so all the money was the same variable, so they all worked together. That was pretty cool.
It's cool.
When 3D graphics started to be a thing, when Wolfenstein 3D came out, I was like, found books on like how they did that. And I didn't totally understand them at the time because the math was a little bit complicated, but you know, I started to get it. And then like, I think the big moment where it was like the thing was probably when the Quake test first came out for the old game Quake. When I first saw that running, I just had to know how it worked, you know? It was so awesome.
I totally do. That's cool. So that like really dug you deeper, getting that, oh, I can't wait to find out how this all fits together.
Yeah. When you saw that running and it just seemed like impossible, you know, like computers can't do this.
Oh, man. It's so fascinating how much so many of these concepts just like fit across the board from all kinds of different like hobbies and jobs. I remember taking autos class in high school and like as soon as we started getting into it, just being so fascinated, like, oh, that's how all of this works.
Yeah.
It's so simple, but not like there's all these little moving parts, like one tiny thing missing from this giant machine and it doesn't work.
Totally. Yeah.
And, like, for you, a fucking semicolon, right?
Yeah,
that's all
much.
It takes.
Oh, man. Some of the bugs have been staying up all night finding some stupid mistake from, you know, lunch one day. It's the worst. But, you know,
I did very limited coding in my lifetime, and that being, like, the most frustrating thing when you're like, I swear I have looked over every single fucking line. Nothing is missing. Nothing is out of place. Nothing is misspelled. What is going on? You get that blindness. Like, you really have to take a break and walk away sometimes.
Yep. Or the other thing you can do, which we do, is you try to explain it to a bear. Like, you get a teddy bear, and you explain what you're doing to the teddy bear. I think the original one was a duck. As soon as you try to explain it to someone else, like, you instantly see what you did wrong. Like, it's really funny.
Oh my gosh. That is so... Where did that come from?
I have no
idea.
Who
came up with the idea to do that?
Well, I've brought over other programmers, and, like, I'm just like, so I'm having this trouble. Can you help me with this? Can you do... Oh, never mind. I see what it is. Like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, a physical stuffed animal? Do you imagine it and, like, talk to, like, a creature and do it? Like, you've got, like, a little teddy bear sitting on your desk?
I don't have one, no. I think people around the office do, but but yeah, I mean, I just imagine it, but yeah, it can be handy. It can come in handy.
That's a really fascinating way to go about solving any problem.
Oh yeah.
Like, taking yourself out of the equation. I've been just, like, nerding out about brains lately. It's all I want to learn about. And that concept makes so much sense on so many different levels.
Yeah, totally. It's like it's like when you give someone advice, right? Like
yeah.
If you were in their situation, you would never give yourself the advice you'd give them because you can't see it because you're in it. But when you're external, mm-hmm. it's very easy to see what the problem is, and you can give advice.
people use that to allow them to figure out what they're feeling sometimes.
Oh.
If you're, like, emotionally kind of backed up, you don't know what's going on, you're frustrated. You're in one of those moods where you're like, am I frustrated, angry, hungry? I don't know what it is, you know? Like, something feels off.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I want to say, Rocky talks about this sometimes. I don't know if you know Rocky from Twitch, but he talks about it, and I think it might have been a concept that came from, like, Buddhism, too. You're looking at yourself from the outside. So he's told me it before that you... look at yourself as like a baby, essentially. And you try to think of what you would do first to comfort that baby.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is you're looking at it and trying to figure out what's wrong with the baby. How do I comfort it? But really you're looking at yourself.
Yeah, totally.
It's interesting. Stepping back and putting yourself in a different position makes such a world of difference sometimes.
Yeah, it can really help.
Man. So what's the future for you? You're living, like, the dream, right? You got the job you like. You're working in a studio that's awesome. Where do you go from here? Moving up that studio more?
Yeah, I think that's generally it. I mean, getting more responsibility, finding a way to have more impact. I mean, yeah, whatever I can work on there that I can take it up to another level.
Is there a progression? Are there, like, senior engineers, or is everyone just engineer?
And there's definitely a progression. There's, like, we have, like, like levels, and they have numbers, and we have sub-levels, and it's like, there's a whole investment system, and yeah, but...
interesting.
But, like, Microsoft has that, too, and when I first started working there, I had never seen that before, and I joked, does someone get, like, a ding when their level goes up, and like, wow, I guess not.
Wouldn't that be great, though? Like I sold cars years ago, and after you sell a car, you get to ring a bell. Like, why not, right?
Totally.
Get promoted, you get a little ding, it rings through the whole office, and they're like, wow, good job.
Yeah, that's pretty fun, actually. That'd be nice.
Bring it up, man. I mean, you got that fun workplace environment. Tell them you deserve a ding.
Yeah. Well, sometimes when it's someone's birthday, we yell out, hey, everybody, it's so-and-so's birthday, and everyone claps. So there you go.
Okay. Similar concept. I get it. Yeah. So what's – no, please go on.
So, some people go to a different discipline too. Like, I mean, we've had engineers switch to design. Like, one of my good friends who I've worked with for like 15 years or 20 years almost. My God. He went to be a producer. So.
Oh. So are there any other avenues that you've considered? Like if you leave engineering, what you might do?
Yeah, I mean, I've considered some of them. Like I've definitely considered design, but I like engineering a little bit too much to want to jump over there yet. You know, maybe when
I get it.
Maybe when there's no more world to conquer, I'll think about it. Production, I've thought about very briefly. I think I would be good at it, but I don't particularly like that type of work. So,
man, it just sounds like you hit the jackpot, though.
It feels that way sometimes, for sure. Especially when I started working at Bungie, it was like, okay, well, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I've heard that their interview process is really, really tough.
Oh, it's the toughest interview I ever had, for sure. It was very tough.
I wish I could. I think it might have been Deej who was telling us about it when I was there one of the times, the way that they go about it. I don't think I've ever had an interview where I was like, man, that was really hard work. Usually I'm just like, I know I deserve this job. Well, not deserve. I know I would be good at this job. So it's just, do you guys want to hire me or not? You know?
Yeah. I mean, we are super, super picky, which is really good. Like there's something about it when you look around and you know, everyone's good and you know, you can trust everyone, that just is like so nice. And without that interview process, it's really hard to maintain. Cause I worked at places where it was much easier interviews, and you know, you get a sense for the person interview, and you're like, if you have a really good like manager, he might usually, or she might usually pick really good people. But, but if you don't, and they're at the company, like it can be hard to like lay someone off or fire them. So you're stuck with someone who you can't trust, you know, and then you have to like, but at Bungie, you know, oh, if I give someone work, it's going to come back good. Like we're good. And that's very
I'm just
nice.
Trying to imagine like the implications of that too. Like having someone in that mix. I had a web design and development company for a while, and I like having to work with and do the project management for just websites, you know, some of them more complex than others, but certainly nothing as complex as what you're working on. Mm-hmm. But the fucking pain in the ass when you have someone working on something for a while and then they leave or they get busy or whatever, like that is a mess.
Or the other thing that would happen to us is they just would not do a good job. And then you have to like fix it or redo it. And then it's like, oh my God.
You're doing double work. You're backtracking. Everyone's stressed. Deadlines are not being met.
Yeah, totally. And with software, with bugs, I mean, it can take me 2 hours to write some code and then 2 days to debug it if the bug's bad enough. So if you have an engineer who's doing a bad job and riddling the code with bugs, you're looking at months of debugging their broken work, and that is really bad, you know?
Yeah. Man, so yeah, I could see that the interview process being challenging being a really good thing. I hadn't fully thought of it in terms of, like, the impact of not having someone who was interviewed so toughly, but, man, it makes so much sense. Like, you don't want a lot of turnover. You really want to know you're getting someone who can rise to the challenge, who isn't going to be, you know, overwhelmed easily or whatever. And you really just don't want to be setting yourself up for shit in the future.
Oh, totally. Like, exactly.
How long was the interview process? Can you walk us through any of it? Is it super top secret? I don't want to get Deej mad at me.
I don't think it's secret. Basically, it's you go in the morning. I think usually you meet with someone who's like HR or sort of like quote unquote friendly. And they kind of describe Bungie a little bit or something. And then it's like for an engineer, it's a bunch of senior or like higher engineers or engineering managers. And it's one after the other asking you hard programming questions. Here's a whiteboard, write the answer. Like write the code there or explain how it would work depending on the person. And it's just one after the other, like basically seeing how good of a programmer you are and how good of a problem solver you are.
Wow.
For the
whole. How long does that go on for?
So that goes on for about 8 hours, I think. Like there's
holy shit.
There's a lunch break where they take you to. They took me to a really nice lunch at a nearby steakhouse, and then it's back to the, you know, back to the hard questions. I mean, it's kind of fun because you're solving problems. So if you like that, if you can manage to not be nervous, it's actually kind of fun. But it's really hard to not be nervous.
I mean, I can imagine just like how do you not, you know, like it's a cool studio. It would be so fun to work there. You enjoy like what they've put out. You're excited for whatever's coming next. And here you are like in this, ideally I'm imagining at least not a giant room, but you're in what's probably a relatively small room.
Yep.
Working through these problems in front of everybody.
Well, it's one person at a time. That helps.
Oh.
So yeah. Okay. It's one guy comes and asks you his question, then leaves, or her question, then leaves. That's it. So it's not quite as bad as that, but
that's still intense. It's cool that you can look at it as fun though, because you clearly have a mind that really loves challenges, and that's like what a great. Of all of the mindsets you can have, especially something you develop so young, to be like, I fucking love solving problems, you know? The more complex, the better. Give me extra work, please.
Totally.
Man. So how long did you have to wait before getting a response then, after having 8 hours with them?
I think it was pretty fast. A couple days. It was the next couple days I heard back from them. It was pretty smooth.
That had to have been really cool, though. Did you have, like, a celebratory or, like, a relaxing cocktail or glass of scotch or something after that?
Well, I think we went out drinking, so.
Oh, with the people who you interviewed with?
Oh, no. Oh, after that? After the interview? Yeah. No. Mm-hmm. No, it was just, they actually, at the time, I don't know if we still do this, but at the time they give you a present just for interviewing.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was actually nice. Because they're like, we know this is a really hard process. So, you know,
and they got you a nice steak lunch, which is awesome.
Yeah, totally. It was totally nice. But no, after the interview, no, there was nothing. It's just like, okay, thank you very much. See you later.
And then you went home and grabbed a buddy or grabbed your wife and were like, time to drink.
Yeah, I think I probably did. I don't actually remember, but that means I probably did. Made an old fashioned or something.
Oh, I love old fashioned. Someone from your area, I think it might have been my friend Riley, recommended it someplace that we went to. And I had such a good old fashioned. I had like 2 sips in. I was like, you want one of these, told my boyfriend. So he got one. And then it wound up being a night of just like a long table of us all just knocking back old fashions, which is not a drink you should be knocking back, you know?
So true.
It's so good. So like perfectly made that you feel like you can knock them back until you've had 2 or 3 in a short period of time. And you remember that is a bad decision.
There's a lot of bars I would recommend old fashions in Seattle. Seattle's pretty good for cocktails.
Yeah, for real. I was really pleasantly surprised every time I've been there, honestly. I don't think I've had a bad meal, and I don't think I've had a bad cocktail. And that's my go-to normally is an old fashioned. If I'm out and I'm going to have like a cocktail or have a beer or anything, like I would love to have that first.
Oh, totally. Like that's my test for a bar. Like if they yes. A, don't know how to make it, or B, make it completely wrong, I'm like, okay, so I can't order cocktails here. I guess I'm going to look at the beer list.
Exactly. Yes. One of the things that I look for too is like, I'm looking for a selection of bourbon whiskey to see if they have the potential to make it. But then I usually ask the bartenders if it's not on a menu somewhere already. Yeah. Do you make a good old fashioned? Because you can tell in a split second if you're about to get a good old fashioned or not.
Yep.
They're going to look at you either with a like, yeah, and then try and like bullshit their way into making you a cocktail. Or they're going to look at you with confidence like, oh yeah, buddy, I got a good beverage coming your way.
Exactly. The thing that's frustrating to me about it is it's such a simple cocktail. Like it's 4 ingredients or 3. It's simple syrup, bourbon, bitters, and ice. And that's, I mean, you can put orange or cherries, but that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and so many people don't know how to make it. And it's like, how are you a bartender and you can't make an old fashioned? Like,
dude, it would upset you if you knew the old fashioned that my boyfriend was given recently. Like, I don't know what they thought that they were making. They put a packet of fucking sugar in it and like a cherry. I think there was an orange peel and then just bourbon, I'm pretty sure. And it just looked so gross.
Yeah, a lot of people will muddle fruit in it and then not put anything sweet. So it's just bourbon and fruit and that doesn't taste good.
No.
Yeah, there's... Or they put seltzer water. Just fill it with seltzer water. Oh. I'm like, what are you? No, I don't want bubbly bourbon. So
how hard is it to just look up a recipe? Like, if you don't know, don't wing it.
It's, that's also
if you've never
true.
Made an old fashioned, just check it out, man. Like, look it up.
You have a smartphone. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Man, the best old fashions I've had a couple different spots make a maple old fashioned.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that combo is very pleasing. I will, oh my God, I would brush my teeth with that. So good.
There's a place in Seattle called Cannon, and they make a truffle old-fashioned where they have...
What?
They have truffled, not bourbon, but actually brandy. It doesn't taste like truffles at all. It just tastes like delicious, and they make an old-fashioned out of it, and it's like the best. So amazing.
Oh, you just said so many words I like, and I'm so conflicted right now. I literally like have my hands on my head, like I'm shocked that like something broke, or I don't even know. I'm trying to imagine that, and I want to like it in my brain, but that concept sounds so strange.
It doesn't taste like truffles. It just...
I fucking love truffles, too.
They're good, but you wouldn't want to... Or maybe it does. I don't know. Like, maybe if you put sugar in truffles, that's how it tastes. But it tastes really good, however they do it. It's amazing.
Because, like, how do you even... I have a hard time describing truffles because I talk about them way more often than I probably should. But, like, I'm like, they're kind of, like, musky. I don't even know, man. Like, they just have this kind of earthy... How do you... They taste good, but some people are very put off by them.
Yeah, well, you can overdo it, I think.
Yes.
A little. True. Slightly.
If you're not, like, aware of the power in like, even a truffle shaving, I'm sure, like, you can make some mistakes there.
Yeah. It's hard to describe. You're right. I don't even know how I would do it. Like, I'd be like, hey, guys.
I was literally just about to challenge you to, like, please describe the taste of truffles to the Mind of Snaps listener base.
Like a very strong mushroom? No, that doesn't make any sense. No, can't do it.
Because that's kind of like what it is, but I dislike mushrooms, and it definitely isn't the same. They almost look like it, but not. Oh, man.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, I think you got to try one. I think that it's hard to describe a taste. It's a taste thing, too. It's not, like, it's got a special, like, flavor to it. That's...
Yeah, and even kind of like a texture to the taste, you know?
Yeah, I think there's some...
Man.
I think there's some umami in there, and I think that's part of why it's hard to describe.
Umami. I just heard that recently. What does that mean?
It's like the other, like, you know, you have salty, sweet, sour, and then salty, yes. Sweet, sour, bitter. And then umami is like the fifth taste, and it's kind of salty. It's like it means like tasty in Japanese, but it's the MSG taste is like the best way to put it.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause I had just been watching, I want to say it was a series on psychology, and they were talking about, like perception and taste and everything. And they got to that and they said umami, and they explained that there is no equivalent word in the English language. But their description was that it's kind of like that MSG-y taste. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Chinese food? Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. The stuff that just makes you want more, like 30 seconds after finishing a meal that has like a huge food baby formed in your stomach.
Pretty much.
Oh, man. And I'm, like, addicted to soy sauce, too. So, yeah. Like, Chinese food and stuff like that, I'd need to stay away from because I will eat so much of it and I will just drown it in like just sodium sauce, you know?
Yeah, I think soy sauce is an umami taste too. So, yeah.
That was my immediate thought. Yeah. Oh, great. Now I want rice.
Oh, that's right. Forgot about the infamous fried rice tweet.
Oh, my God. I just randomly stumbled on another tweet earlier today. I don't, like, on a random thread, no one I'm following, no one I know, and this chick is saying, like, I got some news for you. Fried rice is really easy. All you're doing is just putting whatever it is that you want to put in your fried rice in, like, soy sauce, or sesame oil, and, like, frying it up and then adding rice. Oh, and you crack an egg on the top of it.
Yeah.
Why did I not know this?
Well, I didn't know it either, so.
You didn't?
No. I'm not really much of a cook, though, so.
Oh. Well, that makes me feel better, but, like, I cook a decent amount. I like cooking. I should have known this. I like cooking. I like fried rice. Why did the two never meet? I feel a lot of shame over it, honestly, but I'm also very grateful because now I know, and I have the Instant Pot, so my rice is done so easily. Well, that the rice is, like, hard, but it's perfect rice every time.
That is really nice.
Now I'm going to make fried rice. Great. Now we're talking about all the things that I don't need right now at 11:30, 11:35. Oh, my gosh. I better not smoke weed tonight or I seriously will make fried rice this late. I'm going to have to just drink water and put myself to bed.
All because
of my gosh.
Truffle old fashions. Look what it leads to.
This and people who are listening to this are going to be like, we expected this. You went a long time without talking about food or truffles or old fashions. We're really proud of you, Snaps. Oh, man. And now I know the next time that I'm out in your area, we're going to go and get an old fashioned.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so the last thing that I want to ask you then, I'm really honestly very happy for you. Because it's just so cool that you started something so young that you were good at and passionate about. You got to carry that through your life and have all these different experiences. You got to see that money isn't everything in terms of like a day-to-day job, which is awesome. Like you definitely, in terms of career, hit the jackpot. So what is daily life like?
Well, I mean, it's pretty good. I mean, I don't know. There's a grind to anything. Like anything that's work is going to have times where it doesn't, you know, it's not all super clicking and whatever. Like you're working on something not as interesting and you just got to get it done and you're ready to go home and you're ready for the weekend. So, but like generally it's like go to work, hang out with my son and then at night hang out with my wife or something. Maybe play some Destiny. Like I want to stay involved in Destiny so I can know what the players are feeling, feel it too.
Makes sense.
They don't let us get any free drops or anything, so we got to earn whatever we get too. So, and you know, it's.
And how old is your son?
He's 8.
Oh.
So sometimes.
Is he coding? Do you have him nerding out with you?
No, he's not as interested in that yet. Mm-hmm. You know, he likes games a lot, so he's playing. He plays Destiny, he plays Fortnite. I think that's cool. Like, it's really cool to get to play Destiny with him when he wants to. Like,
I can imagine.
Like, it's just getting to, and he especially when he really gets into it and he really likes it, and it's like, yes, this is. So he really liked Gambit. Like, he was playing a bunch of Gambit even without me, and I was like, yes, because like I helped with that. So that was really awesome.
What a cool thing to have come full circle that you work all this time on building something and then it gets to be something that you can do with your family and something that you can watch your little man get excited about. Like, how dope is that? I bet he's going to be really excited to tell his friends and stuff. I bet he does tell his friends and stuff how cool it is that your dad, like his dad works on this stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I think so. I don't know if they believe him. Like it's that age where it's like, you know, you don't always believe your friends, but
that's fair. And honestly, at that age, you really shouldn't.
It's true.
Yeah. Oh man. Sometimes it's just a matter of like things getting mixed up too. Like when I was really little, I thought my dad played for the Chicago Bears.
Did he?
And this is just because, no, he certainly did not. It's just because he used to go to Bears games a lot, and my mom would stick me in front of the TV, and she would say, watch for daddy, watch for daddy. Like, I'm supposed to be watching for him in the crowd. But I thought, like, he's out there playing football. My dad is a football player, so I literally told people that for show and tell one day.
That's amazing.
I was a little fucking liar, and I had no idea. My mom had to correct me on that, and that was, like, years later. So I'm sure all the kids at my school probably thought I was just an idiot.
Wow, that's something.
Right? Oh, my gosh. Well, I was excited. I saw one of your tweets once that you and your wife are binge-watching some shows, and we have some shows in common. I get excited whenever I have shows in common with people, like The Happy or The Good Place.
Oh, so good. Such a good show.
Are you caught up?
Yeah, caught up. Finally.
Man, dudes, if you're listening right now, you need to watch The Good Place.
So good.
It is.
It's just so much more than TV ever is. Like...
Yeah.
So much depth to it. And like, if you don't usually think about stuff like that, it should make you, you know?
It came at a great time in my life because I was starting to research like so many different concepts that they kind of touch on in that show. And I love the way that they choose to go about it. I like the concept of the show a lot. And I really just love the execution. It's so fun.
Yeah, I mean, philosophy is just totally ignored in our culture. And
for real.
And it shouldn't be. And it is because it's hard to get into. And this show does such a great job of breaking it down into something that people can actually understand.
Yes.
It's well worth getting into.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting, too, the philosophy aspect of it. Because that's something, like, I wasn't a good student in high school or in school in general, really. Like, I barely graduated. I was a troublemaker for sure. So I'm, like, learning all these things now that I probably should have learned when I was younger, but now I'm actually really fucking excited about it.
Totally.
And I just started researching philosophy more, like, right around the time that the show aired, and now, like, I found a new YouTube series that I like that has, like, this awesome in-depth explanation, like courses. It's called Crash Course. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Mm-mm. It's so cool. They have these playlists of videos, each of their videos maybe like 10 minutes or so, and they cover topics really comprehensively. Like they have one on psychology, they have one on philosophy, they have like astronomy, they've got all these different like science disciplines and all kinds of other things like film and history. And it's just dope because, like, the philosophy one is, like, 45 videos long.
Wow.
Yeah. And they start at the beginning and they explain, like, the vocabulary in very colloquial terms so you can really grasp it right away.
Oh, that's so good.
But, like, man, I highly recommend it. The philosophy one I started watching just recently and it blew me away. Like, I see what you mean when you say, like, it is something that we should be looking into more.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Just the idea of, like, arguing and how it kind of fits into philosophy, if people researched it a little bit more, I feel like they might be able to actually argue properly.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, logic and arguing and just the idea that, like, we have so much attention on technology in our culture and it's, you know, there's people, you know,
yes.
Like, don't forget
Holy
the people.
Crap. For real. And man, I really enjoy just the idea. And, you know, you're kind of in a similar position because science works the same way. Like the idea of being wrong isn't a bad thing.
No, totally.
It gets you closer to the truth.
Yeah. One of the guys I work with says, like, I hate being right. I'd rather be wrong because then I learn something.
Yeah. Being right, like you just stay right where you are. Being wrong, you've learned something. You've progressed. Yay.
Yeah, totally.
You get a ding, right?
Yeah. Your level went up.
Yeah. And those videos, the philosophy ones especially, like that really drove that point home again for me is like, if you're in an argument with someone, Your goal shouldn't be to win the argument. Your goal should be to find truth together.
Totally. Well, and that comes down to a lot of, like, there's a lot of people who avoid confrontation too. And it's like, if you avoid it, they'll find some compromise. And like, you don't want the compromise. You want to find a way for both people to win. Yeah. You have to have the confrontation to get to that point. And it doesn't have to be violent or angry, but it has to happen, you know, totally.
Have you had issues with confrontation? Has that ever been a thing that bothered you?
I'm not a very like outspoken assertive person usually. Like I'll tend to keep to myself. I mean, if something's bothering me, I will go in, but I have definitely been on the shyer side when it comes to that stuff.
And does engineering getting into that path, did that kind of help hone that skill a little bit for you, knowing that collaboration is an important part of it?
Maybe. Could be. I mean, I think it's just something I've worked on over the years of like, if I want the thing to go the way I want it to go, I'm going to have to get good at this. Like anything else, like learning how to program, it's just another skill. And, you know, and I'm at the point now where the real key though is like, you're totally right in that you have to be listening. Because if you're not listening in the argument, then no one's actually getting anywhere. And even if the other person isn't listening, if you're listening, you can still progress it.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
For real. Oh, man. And that's a really good point, because I think there are some people who, as soon as they realize that the other person is kind of rooted, they just shut it down. And I know I'm guilty of that too, but if you can keep them talking, you can definitely start getting a little closer to the truth, right? Or at least closer to some common ground.
Totally. You know, I have emotions too. So sometimes like
you do,
they will prevent me from doing that. Right. like, no, nope, I'm too angry to listen right now. Like, so, and you know, I try not to be, but yeah, everyone's human, happens. Right?
It sounds like you have a lot of self-awareness though, which is good. You know, especially taking the job that you knew you would love versus the job that pays more. I think that's something that does take some self-awareness and a little bit of that, like, I know that I'm going to feel better here and I want that.
Yeah, totally. Like that's been, every time I've done that, and it's been more than once, it's always paid off. Like always. You just got to be.
It's funny that you mentioned earlier too that your mom doesn't always kind of see eye to eye with you on that, because my mom didn't really either.
That's funny.
Like I think it's just in their nature, you know. They want us to be successful and stable, and you know, things most likely, if we're talking about like older generations, things weren't always easy for them. So stability is like paramount, you know.
Exactly.
Now we're in a position where we can prioritize happiness. But it's hard to explain.
Totally. Like growing up, you know, money was always a problem for my mom. So, so to like make a choice like that is like totally hard for her to like get, you know?
Yeah.
Because what, you could make more money. That's what Millie and her job, she never liked any of her jobs. So it's like, who cares what you're doing, right? Like do your work and go home and make the extra money, you know? And I think that, yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, it's a little hard to convince, but I think the more confident you are in your decisions, the easier it gets. You know, I feel for some people who are trying to make that switch.
Oh, totally.
And don't have that same like kind of peace of mind. Like, I know I'll be okay no matter how much money it is that's coming in. I want to do something that makes me feel good. Like, this is a big part of my life.
Yeah, absolutely. Although you got to make sure the heat bill's paid out there.
Yeah, there's, you know, the basic level of, like, I need to make sure I can survive, especially in a fucking polar vortex. I have to be able to afford to have the heat on at excessive temperatures and water running for days at a time. Ugh, it's ridiculous, man. But yeah, it was a real thing, like, 'cause I left my corporate job to go and do my photography. I had a nonprofit that was still running at the time. It's on a leave of absence right now. And then I had my web design and development company, and I just freelanced and did anything else I could do to make money in the meantime.
Mm.
And I was immediately relieved, because the corporate job was great in terms of like the challenge of the actual work. Mm-hmm. You know, like that job you had where you got to wear all those hats, like that can be very satisfying. It's kind of fun knowing that things rest on you that much when you feel capable.
Yeah.
But the workplace structure sucked. My boss was a dick.
Yeah.
Like I was one of the youngest people there and definitely one of the youngest women there in a very male dominated field. So I was just getting shit on day in and day out. And I finally realized that like I was making, I think, $5,000 to $7,000 less than a dude in my department who my boss had said was literally just good for data entry.
Ugh.
And I was like, bro, are you kidding me? I'm running this entire, like, three departments, and you are paying this dude more than me. Why? He does not do half the work I do. So I finally got fed up with, like, working my ass off and grinding my teeth at night and, like, just being stressed and irritated all the time. So I had to try and explain that to her, and she was not thrilled initially. Like, we had a big fight over it.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, look, I'm just so tired of feeling like crap. I don't want to be grinding my teeth at night. I want to look forward to my day.
That's it. I mean, at a certain job I had for a while, like, I was so stressed out and upset that I could, like, feel my body breaking down. Like, that's dramatic.
Yeah.
But, like, I could feel my heart was always pounding. I was always upset. And I was like, I just have to leave this job. It was the best paying job I'd had up until that point. And I was like, I can't work at this job.
Same. And, you know, I don't think it's being overdramatic to say I feel my body breaking down, because that shit is the truth, man. Yeah. The impact that stress has on your life, like, especially depending on your viewpoint on, like, how you view the stress, you seem to view it, especially in this newer environment, as a challenge, which is great. That strengthens your body, which is cool. We just learned that.
Depends what it is.
And then, yeah, of course.
It's because, like, problems.
If you're talking about, like, bullshit stress, it's a little different than, like, this is a challenge in a program I'm working on or whatever.
Exactly. It depends on how much control I have, right? Like, if I can have control and be the one making the decisions and making things happen, like, I can deal with a lot of pressure and a lot of complexity. But if I'm out of control and I'm someone else is controlling me in a way that's not comfortable, then I feel like there's nothing I can do about it. Like, that is when it really gets bad.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And then it really does show in your body. Like, if you have really bad anger, if you have really bad stress, the impact on your body, it literally is breaking down. Like, your heart is suffering. Your blood pressure might be going crazy.
Yeah, like, totally.
Who knows? The mind-body connection is crazy strong.
Yeah. I have a buddy at a job like that, and he keeps going to the doctor and running all these problems, and he keeps having all this different medication for, like, his blood pressure. And I'm like, dude, you just need to quit your job. Like, you're so unhappy all the time. Like, and he wants that stability, you know?
Mm.
So
And that's really hard to translate. Like, look, dude, here's the deal. You can still have stability. Like, think about all the things you don't need in your life, because there are tons. You can have stability and, like, pay your basic bills and have your food and figure out the rest. You can have it all in the sense that you can survive and have a job that doesn't make you feel like you're dying.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
Like, it is totally possible. And if you really want to go further, like, you can have whatever you want. You can totally make whatever kind of life you want happen. It's just a matter of kind of working to figure out how to plan it out, then planning it out, and then taking the steps, knowing they might be long and many of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where I'm at with my mom now. I'm really grateful she came around. She sees Twitch as a good thing. Finally, she didn't quite understand any of this at first. But now she's starting to see. She still wishes I would swear less. She tried to bully me into giving up the F word. And I was like, no, that one's my favorite.
That's so useful.
I know. And I had to explain that to her. Like, you know, part of the draw of my channel is that we can talk about life and random shit and mental health. And we can also be vulgar and ridiculous. And sometimes that's what you need, is you need to hear someone drop an F-bomb to snap you out of something so that you can start paying a little more attention to the meat of it, the good shit. Like, listen up, motherfuckers. Don't take a job that is literally killing you just for the money.
Totally.
I promise you there's another fucking way.
Yeah, that's such a good way to look at it, for sure. I agree.
I'm really glad that we had the opportunity to talk tonight, especially because now I have another example of someone who people can look to, who had the time or took the time to look at what they wanted in life and then moved in the direction that felt right, not the one that paid right.
Yeah, well, I'm glad people will hear it, for sure.
So what about, like I said, it seems like you have some great self-awareness. Do you do any kind of like mindfulness or anything like that in your daily life?
No, not so much. I think some people just have different knacks and get lucky at different things. And that's always been something I've just always been very aware of things and myself. I don't know. Like, I don't know where it comes from, you know?
That's good, yeah. Man. That's good. That's something a lot of people have to work very hard for. And that's awesome that it's something that you were able to kind of cultivate and challenge yourself to grow in as you grew in like your career too.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just think about things a lot. Like mm-hmm. I think about like stuff like privilege, but privilege in like a different way. Like I've always been kind of one of the smart kids or whatever, like not to brag, but that's just how it was growing up.
But brag, man, you're smart. That's awesome.
Everyone would tell me I was smart or whatever. And like I've always just taken it for granted. And like recently I've been thinking about it and like I just started realizing, what if that hadn't happened? Like, what if I hadn't been that? Like, how easy have things come to me because I had that? And that was just like the lottery. Like, I won the lottery, right?
You know what I mean?
And
I do.
And if I hadn't, and if I struggled with math, and if I struggled with reading, like, my whole life would be so different now. And so when someone does have those problems, I can look at that and be like, well, yeah, I mean, let me see if I can help you or whatever, but I can empathize a little bit more because I realize that, you know, I'm just not, it was just like, I happened to win, you know?
Yeah. Like we were talking about earlier too, with like art even,
yeah.
You know, maybe you could have, and I think you probably could have developed and honed your craft and become really good at art. But there are some people who kind of start out great at art and then they continue to hone that craft.
Totally.
Being able to start out with some good aptitude in certain areas, like, yeah, that's something to be grateful for. And it's cool that you even take the time to recognize that.
Yeah. And I was also lucky, like you've said a lot tonight, I was lucky that I found a thing that was valuable. And I also found it. Like, everyone's got a talent, you know, but some people never find it. Like, if
some people never try to look for
that's also true. That's also true, for sure.
And that's tough. Like, there's a lot of people who spend most of their time just hating on themselves, thinking, like, I can't do anything. But who knows? Like, they could be crazy good at any number of things that they just don't even know exist yet.
That's totally true. Absolutely.
Man, it's cool because, like, when you analyze things, it's cool because you're analyzing them in a mindful way. Like you're practicing gratitude by looking at those things that you have and saying, like, this isn't something I necessarily did. I should be grateful for this. This is something I certainly had a hand in as you grew. Like, you could have just been like, I'm so smart. I'm great at math. I don't need to take any more of this, you know?
Yeah.
And then things probably would have stalled out. But that's important, I think. I tend to get a lot of compliments on my stream because I keep up with chat really well.
Yeah, definitely.
And every time I'm like, look, man, I wish I could say, like, you know, thank you and really feel it. But it's something. I'm super lucky that I started reading really young. Like, my dad was a big reader. He kind of got me into reading. And I was really passionate about it. And when you start reading really young and you work, like, you're always reading comprehension peaks, like, that adds a lot of knowledge, just random shit, which can be very beneficial as you grow. And it helps me so much with chat because I can get paragraphs and paragraphs of text from all these different people, and I can glance over and read it quickly.
Totally.
So it's not like I'm some just super fucking amazing streamer. I'm just kind of lucky that I happened to live a life that allowed me to read a lot, and then even luckier that I like doing something that develops your brain so much.
Or both.
Yeah.
Super amazing streamer and lucky.
Totally. I'm the best, man.
Yeah, no, that is, man. I am just amazed you can do that and play a video game, because I can't even talk to someone while I play a video game, much less, like, I can read really fast, but I can't do anything else while I'm doing it like you can. So
it all depends on the subject, though, and, like, you know, there's an important ratio when it comes to my gaming of hydration, caffeination, and weed. So if I have that ratio just right, then I can be mellow and play the game kind of on autopilot, you know, let my body do the muscle memory stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can just glance back and forth and pay attention to chat and come back. But if the ratio's off, then, you know, sometimes I'm focusing too hard on my gameplay and I lose it.
Oh.
Or I'm not focusing at all and it's just not there. So the balance is somewhat delicate, but yeah, it is. I don't know, man. I learned recently that multitasking isn't what I thought it was.
Hmm.
I've always thought, like, it's cool to brag about being a good multitasker, thinking that your brain is handling a bunch of shit at once.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that it is actively switching from thing to thing.
Oh, I see.
So that was kind of a revelation recently, too. Like, somehow over the years, I've done a decent job, apparently, of getting my brain good at switching from things quickly without draining me too much, so I can bounce back and forth between the gaming and a million different conversations and not feel like I'm going to pass out.
That's interesting. It's like programming. Like, that's how a computer, well, used to work a long time ago, which you had multiple. Now there's multiple cores, but it used to be it was one processor and you'd run, it would just time slice its time to run a little bit of this task, a little bit of this task, a little bit of this task.
Yeah.
What's expensive there is the context switch between tasks. It has to, like, unload all the stuff in memory and load the new stuff. And that, like, that must be you're good at, is just unloading and reloading very fast.
Yeah. Being able to just switch back and forth.
Yeah.
It is interesting how much the brain is like computers, though. That, like, it's kind of mind-blowing shit. The more I learn about the brain, the more I'm just like, are we robots? I don't know, some of the stuff that runs in us, the way that we operate, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, this is good shit. It's cool because, like I said, I feel like you're already practicing mindfulness in your daily life, which might be why you seem so chill. And I'm sure, you know, we all have our days, but do you consider yourself a pretty chill person overall?
Yeah, definitely. Tend to stay pretty calm and no matter what's going on. Not that I've ever had anything really drastic happen to me, so. But, like, people get stressed out, I tend to stay pretty level-headed and not get too worried about it.
That's awesome. I'm gonna mark that as one plus one for the mindfulness, just to continue to peer pressure people into doing things that are good for their brains.
Okay. Fair enough.
Guys, if you want to be like Adam and be nice and calm and cool under pressure, pay attention. Practice gratitude. Pursue joy. Try meditation. It's fucking great. That's my latest, like, real big peer pressure, is I'm trying to get everyone to start meditating.
Nice.
I dare you.
I'll take it under advisement.
Perfect. We can leave it at that. I won't peer pressure you too hard on this.
Okay.
Well, it's midnight here for me.
Okay.
And I'm getting warm in here because, as I've mentioned, I'm in the polar vortex right now, so we have to keep our heat up pretty high overnight. And I'm just boiling in my office right now. But, man, I really appreciate you coming on. I super, super appreciate all of your time, and this was really interesting.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. I'm really glad I did this. Thanks a lot for inviting me.
Yay! All right, so I told everyone they could find you on Twitter at Peanutorious. You said you don't have anything else you want to direct them to. So if there's anything else you want to share with them, please feel free.
You mean right now?
Yeah, right now. Drop some advice, some wisdom bombs. Tell everyone they're awesome or just say bye.
I think my advice and wisdom bomb is like when someone's really bothering you, like just take a second to look at it from their point of view if you possibly can. And I promise everything will go better.
Perspective. Yes. That's a great wisdom bomb because it's one of those simple things that people really don't pay enough attention to.
And it's super hard. Like, it sounds easy, but when you're mad at someone, it's super hard to do. So I totally get it. But if you can just try. Yeah. So that's my wisdom bomb.
I've said that to people and gotten the response of, I don't want to. I don't want to see it from their point of view. And it's like, I get it, but also, do you see what you're doing here?
Totally. Totally.
Do you see?
Totally, 100%.
Oh, man. Well, that was a good wisdom bomb. Again, thank you so much. This was awesome, Adam. And I look forward to whenever we can grab a cocktail together because we're going to have a good old-fashioned, not a bad one.
Hell yeah. Next time you're in Seattle, let me know.
Oh, I will. Thank you again. Have an awesome night. And yeah, dudes, follow him on Twitter and have nice conversations about life and gaming and engineering.
Sounds good.